So I said, thoughts on Caligari? He said he didn't eat squid.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Good afternoon, Mr. Steve Newell.
Good afternoon.
It's good to have you here in the studio.
It's lovely to be here.
Yeah. Oh, and, you know, I'm so excited to talk movies. There's some great ones out there.
You know, there's a couple of good movies got made over the years. and I've been indulging in a bit of mental time travel. Cool. If you bear with me, I want to take you back to the year 2000.
Okay.
This one actually, I
was only 3 years old.
Oh, that's great, because I was just entering the workforce at a small place called 95BFM.
Hell yeah.
And back in 2000, this is going to thrill the listeners, this part, but working in the sales department, when you sold some ads and you made a little ad schedule, which is when you fill out a form where all the ads are going to go for your client.
Yeah.
It was on three pieces of paper joined together.
Wow.
It was on carbon paper, so that you'd like write with a ballpoint pen.
Yeah.
And it would, hear me out, younger listeners and younger hosts, and it would transfer to the other layers of the paper. One would go in a folder, one would go in the fax machine to the client to be signed off.
Right.
I mean, maybe BFM was 1 or 2 years behind maybe there's a little technology gap there.
Yeah, even the year 2000, they still had... I mean, I actually used that at the post office.
We had computers in 2000, but maybe they printed like a million of these and they're getting through them. Or maybe it worked, unless you forgot to put one of the forms where it needed to go and had to apologise to DJ Severe for his campaign not running. Anyway, that's merely a hypothetical. Sorry, Phil. That by way of context is when Gladiator came out.
Ridley Scott's film with Russell Crowe,
who was already making big waves as an actor, but this was definitely the film that kind of propelled him to the level of superstardom that would see him ridiculed on South Park and pursued by the press.
Yeah.
Went on to win 5 Oscars, including Best Actor for Rusty.
Mm.
Mentioned Auckland in his speech.
Awesome.
Jar bless.
Bless up Auckland.
Now we get to 2024. That is the present day. And once again, Ridley Scott has returned to ancient Rome for Gladiator 2.
Whoa.
I don't know why Ridley Scott has made this movie. Let's just put it out there.
Well, you know, tuning up IPs popular at the moment.
I know why the studios made this movie.
Ah, right.
but you know, Ridley's, Jesus. He's 86.
Yeah, for the sure there's a time to retire.
He ain't got that many movies left.
No.
Maybe this is the gateway to getting the next batch of movies made that he wants to have made. His form's been... There's usually been something interesting about the stuff that he does. His Napoleon had enough interesting stuff about it to watch, but wasn't great. House of Gucci was, I thought, a very entertaining watch, and I think deliberately so. I don't think it was a camp disaster, like, you know, unintentionally amusing. I think it was very intentionally amusing. But man, Gladiator 2, this has, as you kind of referred to, that nostalgia need baked into it. From the opening credits, which are dynamic paintings recreating the events of the first Gladiator. And so right from the start, you're like, oh, that's right. Yeah, Russell Crowe's quite good in this, eh?
Mm.
Oh, that's right. Joaquin Phoenix was quite good in an A. And then all of a sudden, you've got Paul Mescal. And I don't know where you stand on Paul Mescal.
After he was in Challengers, wasn't he?
No. That's he's not in Challengers. All of Us Strangers. What else? Paul Mescal breakout films? Moving right along. This is not going to be known as one of his breakout films.
Right.
it just does not work. Last week, I got the first inkling of this when I was reading the notorious Pop Bitch email gossip newsletter, and they had someone had gone to the BAFTA screening in London of this and had overheard someone saying that Paul Mescal makes Gerard Butler look like Daniel Day-Lewis. I couldn't shake that thought last night because his performance is not good. But... in his defense, it's not housed in a particularly interesting film. There were lots of things that could have happened with a Gladiator sequel.
Mm.
Starting from, you could just make a movie about a gladiator.
Yeah.
And so long as it's kind of got this, you know, Roman intrigue and sort of lofty politico-social ideals in the background, it'd be a Gladiator movie.
Mm.
But this film makes the common modern mistake of prequel sequels, and it can't help but just try to attach itself to the first one as much as possible, remind you of the first one as much as possible.
Yeah.
And like so many instances of this, the first film's way better, so why would you not just want to watch that?
True. They don't even bother to try and make it its own thing.
I mean, it's definitely got its own... It's its own installment in the Gladiator cinematic universe, for sure. The GCU, as it's now being called.
Right.
But it's just... It's not just pointless, but it's profoundly not that entertaining.
Mm.
And that's a terrible mix. Like, at least be one or the other. Too long... too silly, but not silly enough. It kind of sort of falls in all these different sort of uncanny valleys of movie watching that just feels a bit tedious. And on my scientifically proven scale of how good is this movie based on how often are people going to the toilet during it, that's
a high toilet ratio.
It scored high in the toilet ratio. That was because that was thanks to the lovely sponsors of the preview screening last night with an array of alcoholic beverages on offer. But having said that, even factoring that into the AI model, it still comes out pretty high on the
toilet. No, if it's good, you should be able to hold it.
If it's good, you should be able to hold it. I'm not going to get into spoiler territory. There are specific things I want to mention about this film. They're all over the internet. If you're reading film Twitter or whatever, you'll know about Redacted, and you'll know about Redacted and Redacted Redacted. But suffice to say, it's a pale imitation of the first film.
Right.
I don't really know who it's for. Some performances are okay. Denzel Washington's a heck of a lot of fun.
Yeah.
He kind of becomes a... quite camp-leaning Shakespearean character sort of halfway through the film. Well, you know, a character from Shakespeare, not literally playing Shakespeare, wrong historical period. He's fun to watch, but everything else is just pretty flat. They've got twin emperors or emperor brothers, both of whom are just kind of a constant reminder of Joaquin Phoenix's sort of intense and unhinged energy in the first film, but without rising to that challenge. The whole film doesn't really rise to any challenge.
Mm.
They should have made Nick Cave's script for Gladiator 2. So in the wake of the success of the first film, Russell Crowe wanted to make a sequel.
Yeah.
Thing is, spoiler for a movie from 2000, Russell Crowe's character dies at the end.
Mm.
"Hey, you sort it out," he said to Nick Cave. Nick Cave turned in a script called Gladiator 2, but he wanted to call it Christ Killer. Because the plot hinges on
the Christ.
That
would
have
been really popular.
Russell Crowe's character goes to the afterlife. The gods are really disappointed at this stage because they're losing a lot of their spiritual power because this guy Christ is stealing a lot of followers and their sort of spiritual energy.
Mm.
So they send Russell Crowe back to Earth to kill Jesus Christ.
Damn.
I mean, I can think of a few problems to making this film in the United States of America.
Yeah, you know, mainly the Midwest.
Mainly the Midwest, yes. Mainly votes and churches and bigots. As he goes on his mission to kill the Christ, it ends up like... This is all real, and the script's online. You can read it.
Oh, really?
It's all real. The last 20 minutes is kind of a montage of all the wars of history with Russell Crowe's character going through them until he ends up working at the Pentagon. So, Cave says...
Now that's a movie I want to see.
Yeah, exactly. Cave says, once sort of tasked with it, once he had the idea, he immediately knew there was no way they would ever make his idea, so he just... Mm. Made it as full on as he could, and then turned in the
Went
script.
Crazy.
And Russell Crowe was like, "Yeah, thanks, but no thanks." And that was the end of that.
Oh my god!
What I can say I guess this is can it be a spoiler if you say something that isn't in the film?
I guess not.
Maybe not. There's no Russell Crowe doesn't turn up. There's no old Russell Crowe, and even
there's
better,
no flashback.
Even
flashback.
Better, there's no Russell Crowe in a computer time machine.
De-aged. Oh, thank God.
Well, maybe there's a tiny bit. But certainly not scenes of that character
walking
and talking and doing a little dance.
Yeah. Now, when you say that Ridley Scott was involved, was he like executive producer involved or director?
Oh man, he directed this.
He directed it.
And yeah, it doesn't have the, you know, he used to be a master director. Now he's kind of a legendary director. I guess he gets a bit of a pass.
Yeah.
The sharpness is gone. The staging of action is not what it used to be.
Yeah.
Some interesting action sequences in this. Some just don't work at all.
Mm.
A shot where it seems like one of the characters in ancient Rome is reading a newspaper and drinking a coffee at a cafe, when none of those things would exist for maybe 1,000 years after the film set.
Oh, at least.
It's kind of a good Ridley Scott joke, I think. I think that might be a House of Gucci level gag.
Yeah, he went meta right there.
That's my one spoiler for the film.
Yeah.
Guy reads newspaper, just drinking a coffee. It's not a Starbucks.
No.
Not that obvious.
Oh, there's no product placement there. Oh god.
So that's Gladiator 2. It's in cinemas tomorrow. I think it's a sort of film that we'll have a busy weekend at cinemas, busy first week, but the word of mouth ain't going to be great on this. I'm not really too sure who it's for, and I don't think that it's certainly not the film that's going to propel Paul Mescal to a bigger fan base. The draws for star power are Mezcal. Pedro Pascal is fine as a supporting character in this. Denzel Washington's entertaining, but it's just kind of, there's not enough going on there for this to be troubling multiplexes for very long, I would say.
Shit.
So,
well, what else you
I
got?
I wouldn't do Gladiator 2. I would maybe just sit home and work through the stuff that's on your watch list, because there's a couple of big telly shows on their way.
Yeah.
I haven't seen season 2 of Bad Sisters, but that starts on Apple TV tonight. I really, really like the first season. If you haven't seen this, this is Sharon Horgan's island-set tale of a group of sisters who band together to knock off the bastard husband of one of them. And it's like a kind of black comedy crime drama, really entertaining.
Yeah.
Season 2 of that kicks off tonight. On more of a sci-fi tip, on Fridays, also on Apple TV, Silo is back for its second season. This is the show that's set in a cylindrical bunker beneath the Earth,
yes,
with the last 10,000 people surviving, who kind of only have a potted history of why they're there.
Yeah, but I did see the first season of this. Yeah, pretty not bad.
It's set up some pretty interesting ideas, and because Apple TV is so, I think, unviewed, maybe won't sort of disclose what happens in the final episode there, but season 2 picks up with kind of big revelations in the works, and really interesting ideas about received history and, you know, what we're programmed or conditioned to believe and understand. I've watched the first few episodes of season 2, been really enjoying it.
Oh yeah.
And also on the sci-fi buzz starting Monday, I've just been bemoaning prequels and sequels. Well, take a load of Dune Prophecy. This is a prequel series to Denis Villeneuve's Dune feature films. But you know, if you want to set something a generation before or a generation after your existing big piece of IP, take a number, because this is set 10,000 years before the feature films. And I've been digging it. I've seen the first 4 episodes.
And you like it?
It's kind of space Game of Thrones in some ways. It's a lot of intrigue in shadowy corridors of power, but there's also really buzzy things, and there's a bit of space drugs and space sex clubs and space cars. So some stuff going on that we didn't maybe see too much of in the feature films.
Yeah.
Also, it's not mining nostalgia in the same way, because we just had Dune Part 2.
You're right.
At the start of this year. It's
so
not,
there is no nostalgia.
It's not
for
some
it.
Kind of like thing. Yeah, we don't associate the better times of our lives with, maybe you do, most of us don't associate the better times of our lives with the start of this year necessarily.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have the same nostalgia feeling. It's a really interesting expansion of the universe. It's centered around the Bene Gesserit, which is the sisterhood, as it's known in this show. It's kind of in its early-ish stages of formation, but they're the group of women who have basically set the course of Paul Atreides' life through a bloodline propagation system in place, leading to the events of Dune. But this is really about things that have been sitting in the background of the story.
Yeah.
And dig it. So that's Monday. And that's
Monday.
It's kind of got that you know, that classic HBO Monday night in New Zealand drop time.
Hell yeah. Did you like the films? Were you a fan of the
films? Yeah, I dug the films.
You like the films? Yeah, oh, okay.
Big time. Big time.
Shit, so it's a good extension of that.
Yeah, I feel. It definitely feels like it takes place in the same broad universe, even though Villeneuve is not not directly involved in this production.
Right.
And we've yet to see... I mean, I really hope none of the cast show up as 10,000-year-old younger versions of themselves.
Surely not. An embryo.
An embryo. good luck getting a good performance out of that.
Exactly.
Hey, well, computers, that's what they're for.
Oh, that's right. Exactly. Exactly. Sweet.
Cool.
Thanks very much, Steve. There's a lot to think about there. A
lot to think about.
Or maybe not much at all, really.
No, maybe not. I mean, Gladiator 2 is not going to make you think too much. And if you're just looking for... If you wanted to switch your brain off and just get a bit swords and sandals with it, it kind of had that potential, but I think it's a slog.
And, it's a slog.
Everyone I've spoken to since last night's screening...
Yeah.
Unfortunately shares that sentiment, no matter what degree of... cinephile wanker.
Well, you heard it here, guys. Hey, thanks for that, Steve.
No worries. See you soon.
We'll catch you next time.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.